Cliffcentral.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to yet again another edition of Unplugged and In Charge. My name is Weza, that guy. I'm never chilling alone. I'm always here with somebody, and it better be somebody cool. And this time around, I'm here with Mr. Von Thiel.
Yeah, man, we're two comrades short today, though. Two unplugged comrades are short.
They unplugged
but,
themselves.
But I'm out here. Yeah, my name is Vaughn. I go by the name of Vaughn, that other guy.
Yeah.
When I'm with Weza.
Vaughn, that other guy.
But otherwise, just Vaughn the poet, man. What's happening?
Yeah. Vaughn, man, do you still have some of your poetry? Do you still recite? Do you still do that stuff?
Yeah, man. I've actually slacked off a bit.
Yeah.
I wasn't writing enough. And I started again, bro. So I've been writing a bit, playing with some ideas.
Yeah.
I'm talking to a guy now. We're looking to maybe start recording some stuff. You know, mixing it up, like making some music, making some poetry.
All right.
And you and me, bro, we're going to work too.
Yeah.
So are
you still going to grace us with some of your poetry maybe in the near future?
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Actually, I'm going to be somewhere on Saturday. I'm talking at a Siyabangena seminar on Saturday.
Mm.
And I'll end it off with a poem like I usually do. Got to get that flavor. Got to put that touch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. So, it's a good release. You know, I think everybody should have a bit of a release when it comes to your everyday life. Have a creative release. It's nice, man.
Have you always been a poet?
No, not always. I only really started writing and taking it somewhat seriously in about 5 years ago, maybe just after school.
Yeah.
But then it took like a break, and then it was about 2 years into university I started up again. But I've always been like interested in words and writing and art and that type of stuff. Yeah, man.
Actually, you normally find that a lot of people are interested in, you know, some form of art, you know, whether it is drawing or whether it is poetry.
Yeah.
It's interesting how you've taken that so-called hobby, and it was actually your first step into radio, because I mean when you were still doing the segment with Ari, it was one of the things that you were doing, right?
Yeah, all the time, man. Like I'd freestyle, I'd write poetry, I'd do all those cool things. It was actually one of the things that when I first auditioned left a bit of an impression, which is great. Yeah, so like you never know, these little things that you're interested in, if you start building them, you never really know what doors they can open.
Imagine one day you were still writing there, trying to come up with your simple rhymes, and then someone was dissing you like, what the hell are you doing? You're like, hey, one day this is going to make me famous.
Ah, shut up, dog.
Well done.
Yeah. It's cool, man. I mean, there's a lot of people have their own stories, you know, and it's awesome to hear all the different ways people have done things.
Yeah.
And it's not really always a blueprint for how other young people should do it, but the blueprint is in the action, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, find that thing, you know, explore yourself, try different things, be interested, find your interests, and then be brave enough to somewhat pursue them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
No, that's really, really cool. I've actually got some really good news for you. You have been using the Uber taxis for transportation. The good news is that Uber went down by 20% 3 a.m. this morning. And the crowd goes wild.
And the Uber drivers go mad. the truth is, like, Uber is such a convenient service, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, it's been a saving grace for me a couple of times.
Yeah, man.
You know, those days, bro, hard, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I understand why they're cutting it now, because, nobody really wants to be standing outside even for 5 minutes in the winter waiting for the Uber, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they have to cut the prices to get the people in the cars during winter period.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I've always felt was that the Uber service is great, but I've always felt that it was a bit pricey, especially if you want to do a bit of a long trip. Let's say you're going from Joburg to Pretoria, maybe for some quick audition or whatever you're going for. Normally, you feel the punch in your pocket and you kind of have a limp.
You see that? You know when you hit that fare estimate, you're like, hold up. Like, shut up, this thing. I'm done.
Normally you look at that fare estimate, you're hoping for the smaller amount.
Yes.
Like, maybe nyana.
But sometimes they chow you. They say they're between 500 and 750. But then you're like, but hey guys, 250, that's a lot.
That's a
lot. Don't tell me between there. Because then you know, they sell you with the low one. You look at the low one, you're like, okay, 500, okay, maybe, you know.
Maybe.
But then when you get out that car, my guy, that email comes. 670.
I mean, yesterday I was dependent on Uber quite a lot because I needed to do quite a lot of things yesterday.
Yeah.
In terms of voiceovers, then this, then that, then that. And I chose a random day to fix the car. It had like some ball bearing sound at the back of the wheel, whatever. So, yo, guys. And I ended up having to use an Uber, you know, to come to Johannesburg and then to go back home again to Pretoria. Jeez, man.
That's a trip. Yeah.
I felt the punch, man.
Yeah, I know.
I even had a limp this morning at the gym.
Because the way my bank account is set up.
Man. But I mean, it's good news that you know, the whole 20% reduction is happening. Yeah. I was just wishing it happened when I wanted to use it, you know, yesterday, not today.
Yeah.
Hey. But anyway, it's still a good thing.
It is a good thing. We were happy about
that. But you know what? Yesterday, being stuck in traffic in an Uber, I thought, you know what would work perfectly now? And I want to patent this idea in case you're listening and then you take it and then you heard it here first.
It is patent, by the way.
What if we had Uber bikes?
Motorbikes.
Yeah, because in a high dense and in a high traffic zone where it's just traffic all the way, you wish you could just hop onto a bike and get to that meeting a little bit quicker. And if you could just Uber that bike, it gets here, you get lifted, zwing, there you go.
It'd be dope. Imagine like you get like our helmets that then have the GPS coordinates in a section, so when the guy's driving, he doesn't have to look down at his phone.
Wow, okay. Now you just took it to that Batman level.
Yeah, bro. You know, let's go big.
Yeah, well, I think that would be a really cool idea. Yeah, and I mean, I think I would use that.
Yeah. Especially around town, like quick little trips.
Sitting in that Uber, looking at those bikes go past and feeling like, you know what? If I could just ask this guy for a lift, I would do it right now.
Because
I'm so late. You know, and it's really something that is, but it's been cool. Uber is amazing.
Yeah,
and
man.
We're just hoping for the best for the future. Maybe another 20% reduction. Who knows? Fees must fall, Baba.
Yeah, they must fall. Uber fees must fall. But I'm very happy about these technological developments. It's brilliant, man. I mean, it's the future. I'm talking about the future. It's your last chance to register this weekend to vote.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah,
this is it.
Yeah.
So if you forgot last time, then this is pretty much it.
My man, now it's real. Now it's real. You have to get down to the polls. Like, I was thinking actually the other day I was a part of a focus group in Bromfontein.
Mm-hmm.
They emailed me asking me to attend a marketing campaign of some sort that they're looking to launch.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot really disclose the information, the brands and whatnot, but I can tell you about an idea that I sort of said that I would do for a voiting campaign, and I think, like, you know, it'd be interesting to hear your take on this and everyone listening at home too, because you know it's a very interesting time we live in, and even in the advertising world and the creative space, because it's almost like it's where the power lies now. You know, people are creatively translating their feelings and their frustrations in art and music and TV and the whole lot. Which they've done throughout the years, but I mean, now in our generation, we can see the new stuff that's coming out and how it's translating the issues that we feel we're facing, you know, which is pretty cool. And so this whole campaign was about trying to get people to vote, you know, obviously, trying to increase the amount of voters that actually go to the polls on the day and put an X next to who they believe should run our nation. And we were just throwing around ideas and we sort of workshopped the one they had. I was thinking it'd be really cool for like a TV advert, bro. Imagine a scene where it's like young people all over South Africa, right? Like, but it's like cutting between different parts of South Africa, and these young people are like, there's protests, like let's say they take scenes from Fees Must Fall, they take scenes of taxi riots and protests for service delivery, and it's like all these scenes cutting between Eastern Cape, Gauteng, all these places cutting between, but the trick is that there's absolutely no sound. Nothing. It's quiet. Like, you see the people screaming, shouting, singing, dancing, burning, whatever it is, throwing, but there's no sound. It's all quiet. But you can see in their faces that they're meaning what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, like, it focuses on the story of one specific young person in that crowd. And that young person then, as they move towards the polls to vote, it's still quiet. But the minute they put down the X next to a box, the sound comes back. Like, wow! And then you hear all the noise because it's the only way you really have a voice.
Yo. Oh, shit.
You know what I mean?
I literally had like goosebumps.
Yeah, bro.
When I just thought of, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, bro. Like I was like, that's how I would, and we should creatively, you know, translate the real message, which is a voice. You know, it's our only voice.
And that's true.
It's to put an X next to the thing, man.
You can complain on Twitter all you like, but
hey, bro. No one changed the world on Twitter. You know, you gotta change the world by doing something. Twitter's a great tool, and it's a great awareness tool, and it's a great conversation starter, and you know, for a whole lot of reasons. But the real stuff always comes down to what do you do? You know, what do you actually do? Yeah.
Yeah, and currently the country is actually facing quite a lot. I was listening, you know, to a couple of talk shows, and they were talking about how in the political climate is such that the guys are focusing on politics rather than governance.
Sure. Well,
that, and then there's actually quite a big difference there, because I mean, politics is literally politics. Who said what? When did why say who? Why
on
is
this day?
Why are you still here? Type of stuff. Yeah. And then governance is literally implementing some of the policies that have been, you know, put in place, and making sure that certain things get done, making sure that the country is moving forward economically and everything. And that's I wondered to myself, but how important is it really that we focus so much on, is Zuma sitting? Is Zuma going? Is Zuma, if it means that the Rand is busy, you know, falling, or the Rand is facing some hard times, the economy faces a hard time because guys are focusing on politics rather than trying to keep the economy stable.
Mm.
Are we really, you know, is it big? Is it, you know, is it bigger picture thinking when we're doing that? Because I mean, if I'm focusing on, no, but Vaughn must go, Vaughn must... Meanwhile, the house is burning, but I'm like, no, Vaughn must go first. We'll deal with the house, but Vaughn must go. But the house is burning, guys. If Vaughn goes, and we took too long to get Vaughn out, and the house is burnt down, the country's reduced to junk status by the time you've finally managed to get this guy out... But what now?
Like, now you must run. Now you must try sail a sinking ship.
Now you're gonna sail it with excuses. No. You see,
because of
you know, and that's now another bad thing.
I think that's an interesting perspective. I do think though that, you know, generally the fish does rot at the head. If you look at things. So I understand the calls for Zuma to go. Of course I support it, man. I mean, it's enough for me, in my opinion. Enough is enough. You know, but at the same time, I do think that there's a level of responsibility the citizens should take in not only making that happen, but in recovering what you call now a falling economy. Yes, the climate is set by governments. I mean, governments and our, you know, political endeavors and deals and whatnot set the climate for the country with regards to the economy. But at the same time, you know, within the country right now, there are people with money, the people with opportunity that they can, that if they use it correctly, they could better the status of a lot of young people and a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, because maybe the key to resurrecting an economy, apart from leadership, is creating young entrepreneurs and giving young entrepreneurs a platform to thrive and to create business within the country. So yeah, I do think that there's an area that I agree with you in that sense, that people can take responsibility for and not only focus on Zuma, because losing Zuma is a step forward. Yes, I completely agree. But it is not the complete solution. The complete solution is still going to lie with us, and especially us young people. You know, we need to kind of create new ways of functioning, and new ways of thinking about business, and new ways of thinking about our economy and our country, so that we can create these ways that are needed to create a progressive sort of nation.
Yeah.
So I agree with you in that. But I do think that there is some merit in the fights that are going on. I mean, even amongst the ANC, they're divided now. You've seen there's a couple of big names that are very much for Zuma falling, because you know, I think there is it's come to the point where it's like, yo, hey, no. Guys, we've been like fighting the same thing, and maybe it's time now we do have a regime shift, you know, within the ANC. I think as a party, Perhaps that would be the smartest political move the ANC could do. I think they did miss an opportunity when the impeachment went in. But, you know, it's never too late. They're a great organization with tremendous history and tremendous values. And there's good people within that organization that are good leaders. And just like in South Africa, we've got to rise together and form common goals. And whoever opposes those common goals must fall, regardless of who you are.
Mm.
That's how I feel about it, man.
it's a pretty sensitive time for quite a lot of things, you know, because now it is, are you loyal to Zuma, or are you loyal to the country and the ANC? And it's all sorts of things that it calls for all sorts of questions, especially now amongst the people in power, the
very
ones who have the, you know, the options of voting this way or that way.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I strongly feel Zuma does certainly have is a genius of how to create connections and lasting loyal connections.
Yeah, no, Zuma's a very, very good mafia boss. You know what I mean? Like, he's really he's planned this for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can see from the impeachment of Mbeki, you know, it's all just sort of fallen into place for him. So
Chess player, exactly.
He's an excellent chess player. You know, he's played the orchestra just as he wants it.
Yeah.
He's given us, he's sung the song that a lot of people want to do here. And then he quiets them down. You know, he's moved, man. He's a political survivor. He's proved that throughout his career, you know.
Mm.
But then again, like, that's where exactly your first point, you know. There is, that's where that line comes in, is like, what are we admiring? Are we admiring the politics or the governance? Are we admiring the politics or the leadership? And from that perspective, I think there's no real leadership. There's no real governance. There's a very good political game that's been played.
Mm.
And if you're very objective and emotionally detached, you could say hats off to your political game. But come on, mate.
Yeah.
let's lead. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's had a lot of flops. He's also had a lot of really cool things about him as well, in terms of things that the country has achieved, you know, within his tenure. He's only got how many years left? Is he got 2 years left?
I think it's 2019, yeah. So, yeah, plus minus.
2019 feels so far, guys.
It does, my guy.
Ooh.
And that's the thing.
That's what gives people sleepless nights,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, bro.
Because, like,
you know, like now, imagine now in 2 years, like if it carries on in the same way, it needs to really change, bro. Otherwise, we're not in for a good next 5 years.
I think, I mean, if I was in his position and I'm thinking, hey man, these guys are gonna they're gonna just take me out and probably renew all my cases when I step down, I would try and, you know,
make the deal,
bank money, put money aside, do things like the Panama guys. I was so relieved that Jacob Zuma's name didn't come up in that.
But I see.
I was like, ooh, scandal.
His son came out, though.
No, that it's not his son. It's his nephew or something like that.
Mm.
But it's not
direct fam. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's a big one too.
It's just the whole thing of Zuma, the surname now. Eish,
too much. Eish, dog.
This surname carries so much weight. You know, and I have a friend who is a Zuma. Her mom is actually Jacob Zuma's, you know, sister.
Oh.
And yeah, man. So I'm sure, I mean, she's feeling it too, you know. Because
tough.
I mean, everybody feels it. And certain pressures are, then they apply to everybody.
Yeah, man, of course. I can imagine, man. That mustn't be easy, bro.
Yeah.
That mustn't be easy. But do you know that in Germany the surname Zuma is quite celebrated because of the footballer? Do you remember the
He's
actually quite a popular figure there. I remember having a chat to him once and they used to call him Zuma the Puma because apparently he used to pounce on all the women that side.
Oh gosh.
He was a killer, bro. He was a main guy.
Oh my goodness. So it runs in the it runs in the surname.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm glad you said it.
Now with this whole Panama, these Panama papers I've been hearing about the whole week.
Hectic, eh?
I was actually quite shocked that Lionel Messi's name came up.
But Messi's been in the spotlight for a while now with tech stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
tax
evasion and, you know,
it's not just him alone. I mean, Neymar was also named once.
Neymar, there's Vladimir Putin there from Russia. David Cameron's huge. Apparently, London is the nest,
like
where it's all coming from, you know. So I'm sure there's a couple of footballers, a lot of celebrities, you know. There's a terabyte hard drive that was released, bro. Can you imagine the one?
And where did Kulubuse find these guys? Like,
hey, My brother.
Sometimes you wonder, what happens? Do you get that straight email? Was it I was thinking to myself, was it one of those emails like, hey, you've just won 500 million from the US lottery? Just, you know.
Click here to claim your winnings.
You know, so did Lionel Messi get an email saying, hey, you can now save your money tax-free. Click here. And then he clicked, and then Kulubuse got the same thing. It's like, click here. Oh, I just clicked. I didn't know.
And at the bottom, they've got like a, you know how on websites where they say our clients. At the bottom, they've said previous winners, Messi, Putin. They're like, oh, this is legit.
This is legit.
No, it is interesting. Maybe it came through a poke there on Facebook. I said, who's this man? Enter.
You know,
Facebook message. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how it works, bro.
Because I mean, where do you find these guys? That dude, it's always been a question of mine. It's like when I told my mom about the Illuminati and all these things that people are into or that they are allegedly into. Yeah. You know, you see things on Instagram and so on. And my mother asked, Where do they meet Satan? Like, where do they? where? Like, you walk and walk and you're like, hey, hello, listen, I want to be part of it.
What's happening? It's hot today. I know it's hot, but nice shoes. Hey, listen, do you want to?
Do you want to join? Yeah. Give you money.
Aye, my brother, it's crazy.
I always want.
But you know what it is, though, is I think, you know, like, if you look at it, life is so full of these different spheres where people operate in, right? Mm. I mean, somewhere in the world right now, there might be people that maybe look at you and your connections and be like, oh, I wonder how these guys do it. I wonder how these guys meet up and make these things happen and operate and are always in the limelight, are always, you know, getting into the right spaces with the right people. I wonder how they do it, you know? And that's, we just like a small level, you know? And then I think we look up at those guys and be like, Jesse, we're now aware of this 1% that exists in the world that runs most of the wealth. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine the reality of their world, bro? Of their lives? Like, their reality is completely different to what we know. Like, it's almost chalk and cheese, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, they operate in another space. These guys are talking about wars, bro. About, like, funding rebel groups in certain countries to start causing conflict,
so that they can get the oil for a lower price because everyone's still focusing on the fight.
You know what I mean? They fund the group, and after funding the group, they've got to go and destroy that group because now that group got balls and started going into their territory. And I'm not mentioning any names, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that type of things that type of thing happens a lot in the world, bro. And the capitalists and the real money makers and the real 1%, surely they have a say in those type of things, man. Because someone gets rich off someone else's pain, and unfortunately, like, the world's in pain, bro. Someone's benefiting off of that somewhere. So, yeah, it's a scary reality, you know, and it's something that I don't think we'll understand just by reading a book. I think you have to experience it, and these guys know how to operate amongst each other, and I think they have a very good selection process too about how they choose these people to be part of what they do. You know, what benefit do they bring? What money do they have? You know, what can they add to the organization? And then they find a way to make that happen, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's scary.
Well, it is quite scary. The big bad world is a scary place. But one thing that I definitely think, though, is that we as young people, you know, have power to just try and make our little corner of the world a little bit better.
That's true.
You know, all these other things that you can't have control over that might be happening somewhere out there. You might just hear about them on radio, on TV or something. But you ultimately have power to just shape your world.
Definitely, man. Mm. Like, I completely agree with that. Someone the other day asked me, how do you change the world? I mean, like, first of all, what kind of question is that? Like, I'm not Einstein, bro. I'm not Nostradamus. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't know what to say to answer that kind of question because it's so relative to everyone's situation. But the one thing you can say, and the one thing I did say to that person was, you change your world first. You know, you change the way you think about your world and your immediate little life.
Yeah.
And then you do that with the purpose of expanding it, and so on and so on. And then hopefully that ripple effect then influences other people to change theirs. And in the bigger picture of things, if we all create a common goal and a common culture and something that we all linked in together, bro, I don't think that there's a government or a organization that could easily rule masses of people with the same ideology, you know?
Yeah.
And that's exactly why they introduce us to different ideologies that appeal to different people in different situations, which are created by them in the first place to have conflict, because when we're divided, they can rule. Mm. But when we're together, we stand.
Mm. And I mean, like we said once before, I mean, a soccer match is made by the players and not the referee.
Yep.
The government is a referee, but we, the people, have the power to make this an amazing place with an amazing experience. They always say that the people make a place what it is, you know. So when someone says South Africa is a beautiful place, they're not always just referring to the scene and everything, but they're sometimes referring to the type of people that you meet there.
Of course.
The type of people and the type of, you know, vibe that they have going on and all those things, really.
Mm.
So we're about to chat now to a gentleman who's actually done quite a lot. When it comes to that ripple effect that Vaughn's talking about, this gentleman right here has created something that's actually quite amazing. He's founder and CEO of Siyabangena Seminars. Now, this is a company that empowers SMMEs by bringing high-end speakers to them. And, you know, they have these amazing dialogues. So we're going to chat to the gentleman and we're going to hear about what they're doing to actually make the world a better place. And this is things that I really think that you can actually get quite a lot of insight from. It's things that I think you can draw quite a lot from. And maybe you can learn a thing or two, maybe as you starting your big thing. Cool. So this gentleman is going to join us right after this.
First things first, I'm the realest.
Realest.
Drop this and let the whole world feel it.
Let them feel it.
And I'm still in the murder business. I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
Right, right.
You should want a bad bitch like this.
Huh?
Drop it low and pick it up just like this.
Yeah.
Cup of Ace, cup of Goose, cup of Chris. I heal something worth a half a ticket on my wrist.
Back. On my wrist.
Taking all the liquor straight. Never chase back.
Never.
Stop like we bring an 88 back.
What?
Bring the hooks in where the bass at. Champagne spilling, you should taste that.
I'm so fancy. You already know I'm in the fast lane. From LA to Tokyo. I'm so fancy. Can't you taste this, girl? Remember my name. Got to blow.
I said, baby, I do this. I thought that you knew this. Can't stand no haters and honest. The truth is that my flow retarded. HBD departed. I'm stupid, I can't shop in no department and get my money on time. If they got money, decline. That's why I'm in that day so much that I get that line of rewind. To get my money on time. If they got money, decline. I just can't worry about no haters, gotta stay on my grind. Now tell me who that, they do that, do that. Put that paper over all, I thought you knew that. I be the IGGY, put my name in ball. I've been working, I'm up in here with some change to throw.
I'm so fancy. You already know I'm in the fast lane. Tokyo.
How you love that? Got the whole world asking how I does that. Hot girl, hands off, don't touch that. Look at it, I bet you wishing you could clutch that. That's just the way you like it, huh? It's so good, he just wishing he could bite it, huh? Never turn down nothing. Slaying these hoes, go trigger on a gun like
GGY.
All right, so I did mention that I was going to have someone really, really cool in the studio today. And now this gentleman right here has actually done quite a lot. He is the CEO of Siyabangena Seminars. Now, this is a company that empowers township SMMEs by bringing high-end speakers to come and speak to them. It also provides opportunities for disadvantaged and unemployed young people, and he's actually got an interesting story and you know, quite a lot about him. Please let's welcome the gentleman himself. He is Sibusiso Hlongwane. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, my brother. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man.
Sibusiso, thank you guys for having me here.
Thank you for coming through, brother. It's always a pleasure to have really cool people that have done some really cool things.
Thanks, gents. Thank
cool
you.
Man, so welcome. You're now part of the tribe of superstar leaders.
Yeah,
thank you, man. So tell us a bit about yourself, brother.
Sibusiso Hlongwane, township boy, straight from the hood in Soweto. I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a hustler, and I'm just like any other individual out there. But the one thing I do know about myself, I'm a guy that just goes for anything that his instinct tells him to go for.
Yeah.
Proper. I make things happen.
You make things happen.
Yep.
That's fantastic, man.
Thanks, bro.
I mean, how did you start making things happen? Where did this whole mindset start for you? Were there any influential people in your life that said, you know what, kid, this is how you need to live life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it's my background, where I come from. Mm-hmm. My mom and my grandmother.
Yeah.
I was raised by women, you know, and I think those two people actually played a big, huge parts in my life, and there was so much influence, you know. I remember when I was in grade 2, when the teacher asked us, what do we want to become? Well, other kids were saying they want to become a nurses, policemen, doctors. I was the only one who said to them, I want to become a president. At that time, I didn't realize and notice, but now that I've grown and I'm the man I am today, I see that I've always had leadership qualities in me.
Do you still want to be the president?
I'm the president of my company.
Oh yeah, okay, bro. Because
shout out.
You can be the president, but the title itself does not necessarily have to mean political president. It can even mean, you know, just taking leadership in whatever role that you're in.
Absolutely.
It's a very interesting space that you guys operate in. Obviously you own Siyabangena Seminars. And you host these talks all over South Africa. Have you got any sponsors that have jumped on board with you guys? Anyone that's backing you, or are you guys sort of self-sustainable? How are you operating as an enterprise?
Honestly, right now, self-sustainable, you know. I remember the first time that we did in June last year at Soweto Theatre. The only sponsor we had was the city of Johannesburg, whom they sponsored us with the venue.
Okay.
And I think actually even this year as well, because there's 8 more that you're going to be doing, but strictly around Joburg. But with this one now, the one that's happening this coming Saturday in Sandton, the main sponsor there is API.
Okay, awesome. Awesome.
But to answer that in a different way, we've always been self-sustainable, you know?
Yeah.
And the kind of message I also want to give to young people there, there's always someone sending me an email. They're always asking for funding. They're always asking for money or something. No one will come and fund you or give you money if you're not taking the first step, you know?
Yeah.
So you need to be the one that's going to put in the leg first before I put in my leg as well.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's like someone gave me an analogy once. They said, if you're driving on the highway and you see a guy stuck on the side of the road and it's raining, you know, if he's just sitting in his car, you're not going to pull over and help.
No.
But if you see him outside pushing his car in the rain, you're going to stop and help him. And it's a similar thing. So just like you said, taking the responsibility first and showing people what you want to do.
Exactly.
And let the right ones buy into it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, I like that. I like the example.
Yeah,
it's a good example. Yeah.
This is pretty cool. So now I'm trying to understand, before we get into, you know, what you guys are doing right now, still trying to understand more or less, you know, what conditions did you start off with? Because you're saying that you didn't really have much funding in the beginning. You grew up in Joburg, I'm assuming?
Yeah, Soweto.
Cool stuff.
I'm a Soweto boy.
This Soweto boy had the dream of becoming the president. He decided after school, what did he do and how did he become president of his company?
when I finished off university, I could not study further.
All right. You know, what did you study?
No, not university, high school, I mean.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I went to varsity and I studied mining engineering, but I could not further my studies.
Yeah.
And when I could not further my studies, I noticed that, yes, I wanted to become a mining engineer in life.
Yeah.
You know? But there was something deeper than that within my instincts, you know,
yeah.
in my heart. I've always wanted to become an entrepreneur. Oh. Even though I was in the field of studying that mining engineering degree, at the end of the day, I wanted to become a mining mogul. Mm. I didn't want to become a mining engineer.
Mm. Yeah.
And when I found out that I was not going to be able to study, what I did was study company, which was called Seven Gena.
Yeah.
So imagine you're not able to study and you're always at home or you maybe at the gym or maybe you're with your boys or your girl. Mm. You know, you're always constantly doing the same thing. So I was like, how's about I put in the same energy I put in these things that I think they're not getting me nowhere into something positive.
Mm.
Let me go and knock on doors, corporate doors, government doors, whomever it may be. Mm. I know someone's going to listen to me.
Mm.
But let me tell them about who I am and what company I have. So I saw the niche within the market that so many young people are unemployed. And as much as they are unemployed, let's start something that's going to help young people gather in one space, listen to people whom they look up to, and inspire and network and talk amongst each other about the different opportunities that we have, you know?
Mm.
And I'm just going to be upfront about it. The majority of people who are unemployed in this country are actually black, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, we need to start something. We need to make sure that if you are unemployed, you can also become an entrepreneur. Just come and listen to the right people.
Mm.
And speaking about that, it's actually in Siyabangena Seminars right now, which is called, the main company is called Siyabangena Companies. So Siyabangena Seminars is one of the elements within Siyabangena Companies. Mm. We've started something called Siyabangena Investments. Mm. So we're launching it this coming Saturday. So if you are out there with an amazing idea, if you want to launch something, if you think that you can become the next Bill Gates of South Africa, the next Patrice Motsepe, actually the next you, that you know that's going to be greater than everyone else, you come and pitch to us, we listen to you. If your idea is amazing and if it's worth an investment, we put in money into your company. So we'll have different investors from different companies. They listen to you, you pitch to us, and then
that's really good, man. It's like a platform for people to generate ideas and actually give them a place to win this funding that they so desperately need.
Bro,
that's
sure.
dope, man.
Quite a lot of young people find that they are a bit skeptical or maybe just a little bit worried about their big bright idea getting stolen by someone with a lot of money.
Mm.
So with these type of things where you actually have to come and you have to pitch and you have to explain your idea and so on, what type of protection is a young person guaranteed of, or what boxes should they tick before coming to such a thing to make sure that they're protected, or maybe that their ideas are protected, that it's theirs and not and some rich guy's not just going to bully them off of it? Because I mean this is a worry of
it happens everywhere.
Long, yeah,
it happens everywhere. You know, I can't really say come there and then your idea's not going to be stolen. You can even pitch to someone in a taxi and tell them about your idea. Still, your idea is going to be stolen by them, you know?
Yeah.
You can tell your aunt and then your aunt steals your idea. You can tell your best friend steals your idea.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say people are guaranteed that the ideas are not going to be stolen, or if there's a platform that says that the ideas are not going to be stolen, which I believe as the president and the CEO of the company, that ideas will not be stolen.
Mm.
You just come in to us, you pitch to us, and then if your idea or whatever that you believe that you can produce is believable to also us and it's worth investing, then we invest in it. It's only that simple.
Yeah, you can see that you've got a genuine intention in this. So,
I do.
Yeah, you can see it, man. And you can see that it would be counterproductive for Siyabangena to ever even think of taking that idea without empowering that person, because your whole model is about empowering young people.
Sure.
So you want to put them in a place where they can operate on their own level.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I like what you just said, Ron. I'm really not the person, and neither is my partner and also my colleagues within the company. You know, when you come from the struggle, if you come from the bottom, you understand where the other person comes from as well, you know. We're not climbing the ladder of success by climbing on top of other people's heads. We want to take the step hand in hand with one another. So that's why it's called Siyabangena. Siyabangena means that we're all going for whatever that we want as a unit, as a group.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I can imagine Jacob Zuma saying the same thing. I am not that person.
Yeah.
That was before. Yeah. That was before Ganza. I come from the struggle.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. I am not that person.
Person. And one, two, three, Nkandla.
Bro.
All right. So this is actually quite cool. I think, I've heard many different ways in which you can actually protect your stuff, because when you have an idea, it actually is yours. It's intellectual property.
Yes.
Some of the things young people can do, I've heard that you could, for instance, type the whole thing out and then email it to yourself and then don't open the email.
Exactly.
This is actually a way to...
It's actually a way to
say, no, that this is mine, and I thought of this at this time. Here's the date, here's everything, and here's the whole thing documented.
That's actually something that happened in the whole Facebook saga back in the day when Zuckerberg took the original idea from those jocks that were in his varsity.
Yeah.
Because they had come up with the initial thought pattern around what it is they want to achieve. Zuckerberg was obviously the genius behind the algorithms and making it happen. But he took the idea and said, hey, that sounds like something. He went, he did it, and he made it happen.
Yeah.
And those guys actually had proof that they had thought of this. And a couple of years down the line, they got paid out $60 odd million for their contribution.
But so they were just some jocks who would have never even
million.
Done anything.
No, but what I'm saying is that, but yeah, $600 million. So you're right.
Is it dollars?
Yeah, dollars.
Oh my gosh.
So if you look at it, right? So if you look at it, it's so crazy that exactly what you said. Now they were just some jocks that just thought of some crazy
and
thing.
They probably wouldn't have done anything.
But
about
they had
it.
The they had the documentation. They made sure that even in their ignorance or whatever it may be, they put something down that could prove their worth. So you know, young people out there, take note of that. Do something about that. And then just a quick one too, Spoo. I want to ask you a couple of things about because I see now you've branched into seminars. You're going into investments. Are there any other avenues that Siyabangena is looking to go into within the next year? Is there an ultimate vision? Are you wanting to create like a company that has many different arms, or are you keeping it strictly youth empowerment?
No, actually, Vaughn, we actually want to create the company into different arms. Another way that we're also looking into, because I've got a lot of friends who are in the TV industry, the media industry, so, and I've noticed that we've got a lot of corporate clients as well. So what we have decided to do is that with the people that I know, a lot of young people look up to, let's say a specific corporate is looking for Vaughn.
Mm.
They want Vaughn to come and speak at the function. Mm. They get Vaughn through Siyabangena.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So like Vaughn, so Vaughn now is able to go and speak at Transnet, at Eskom, at SAP, at ABI, you know. They get Vaughn through Siyabangena. And another one as well, we also do marketing and research and promotions, branding, and all these type of things for corporates as well.
Mm.
So Siyabangena is not only a youth company,
but there's a lot of different
things that's happening within the company.
Is that something you personally, like in your own capacity, that you kind of tried and failed at as a young person? I'm pretty sure going up to this point, you failed a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with failure?
My brother, you know, I think, okay, I'm just going to answer the way I understand it. I think how as a person you deal with failure is in terms of your background, you know.
Mm.
When I was young, I didn't have much, you know. So when I never had much, not having much somehow makes you strong.
Mm.
So I failed so many times in so many things, especially at school.
Mm.
So the minute you become, you fail, you can either believe that you're a failure in life, or you can either learn from your mistakes and try and do something better.
Mm.
But how I deal with failure is whenever I don't actually believe in the word failure.
Yeah.
I believe in I took a wrong road
that's
going to actually lead me to the right destination.
Okay.
You know?
That's really interesting.
I believe in that. So if, let's say, someone would say I failed in something specific, I don't think I failed in that. That was just a learning curve for me to get to where I need to be.
Yo, that's very cool, man. You know? You know, I think South Africa definitely needs more people like you, man, with the same mentality.
Thanks,
I think it's really great that you put yourself out there, and you you know, you speak to people, you try and empower the youth.
Yeah.
And we all know that it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of bravery. I mean, even myself and Wes are playing that space too, and it's something we also are very passionate about.
Oh, nice, James.
But it's I mean, like from my experience, and I'm pretty sure you've experienced it too, you know, the first time, so you've got young people listening to the show right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and they'll listen to it on the podcast forever. So we never know who it might reach. And those mm-hmm. young people that feel like they want to have a voice, but they're shy, but they're a bit scared, but they're not sure if people will take them seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all felt those fears before. You know, how did you overcome those?
Speaking of that, young people scared of pursuing their dreams. You know, you are an accountant, but originally you know that you're not supposed to work for someone. You're supposed to become an entrepreneur.
Mm.
I had options to go and work at a ShopRite. I had options to go and become whatever my specific degree at the moment wanted me to become.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I should say this on air. Mm. But I think I've got the balls to make it, you know?
Mm.
I've always believed in that.
Mm.
And when you start something from the bottom, from the beginning, it's actually much more harder than someone who's actually trying to acquire a degree.
Mm.
The streets are not like school.
Mm.
I've got no lecture to tell me if I'm doing right or wrong.
Mm.
The only thing, when I'm in the streets hustling, the streets are the ones that are going to tell me if I'm doing right or wrong. Mm. You know, there's no advertisement of becoming an entrepreneur. If you want to become a doctor, if you want to become a nurse, all these things are shown on TV. You can read about them.
Mm.
But being an entrepreneur, I'm not talking about a businessman, an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs are the people that hire businessmen.
Mm.
So being an entrepreneur, starting something from the bottom, is actually harder than anything. Mm. So that's why I normally say this to my friends. Entrepreneurship is the hardest career path ever.
Mm.
Entrepreneurs, I feel that we need to respect those people.
Mm.
So answering your question, guys, when you said that having the guts to follow your dream, to pursue whatever that you want to pursue, I think that even though you are an accountant, but you know that you believe in a specific area, it'll always eat your instincts. So that's one thing that used to happen with me. I'd be like, I'm going to take my mini CV that I've created. I do not even know how to create a CV. The CV I've always had is my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I speak to people. I let them know who I am and what I am about, you know?
Mm.
I've been in situations where I've almost worked at a retail shop, but I did not. I've never worked for anyone in my life. I've always been working for myself.
Mm.
So at first it was not Siyabangena, it was called Limitless Holdings. So Limitless Holdings used to be a consultant, an engineering consultant, you know. No one taught me these things. I had to learn all these things along the way, you know.
Mm.
Along the way where I thought I was going. Like you were talking about failure, Vaughn.
Mm.
I've failed so many times.
Mm.
But through the failure that has been happening in my life, it has led me here, you know. To become a CEO, I'm a founder of this business, which I think is doing amazing things and changing young people's lives and giving young people the voice, you know.
Mm.
If I did not go through my experiences, who would have created this?
Mm.
There's so many spaces of people creating motivational talks. We're not a motivational talk company.
Mm.
We're an empowerment company.
Mm.
We bring out the best in young people. And we tell the ones who are unemployed that, listen, dude, listen, ma'am. You can create something out of your life. You can become a businesswoman. You can become a businessman as well.
So it comes down to deciding, you know, if you've got this passion and this dream that you say eats away at you while you're not pursuing it, and if you're scared to do it, think of it in a way that if I don't do this, who will?
Yeah.
And if I don't do it, who will? And if no one does, then what will happen to the people that need it? So you think further than yourself. You make it bigger than your own situation.
Exactly.
And then that should inspire you to push on and actually pursue that dream.
Yeah, and actually you also think about yourself as well. Throughout everything that was going on in my life, you know what I used to tell myself? One of my principles is this. If I'm in my early 20s, I've got so much energy.
Mm.
Or even if I'm in my late 20s, if as long as you're in your 20s, from 18 to 29, you've got so much energy within yourself. Rather than partying, rather than focusing on some things that you should not be focusing on, how's about we start focusing on making our dreams come true?
Mm.
And then when you reach a specific age, later 20s, you'll understand that the reason why you started something at the age of 20 and at the age of 28, you're now already a millionaire.
Mm.
You will understand why and how important it was for you to start that thing at that age.
Mm.
So imagine if you start a business at the age of 30, which I'm not saying is late, but speaking to the ones who are young, starting a business at 30, you can become a millionaire at the age of 40. not guaranteed as well. But if you're starting a business at the age of 20, with the level of energy that you have within yourself, you can actually become a businessman or a millionaire at the age of 25. Yeah. So depending on how you use your energy right now, that's it.
It determines a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Now, I've had, and I've also attended a couple of seminars with Vusi Thembekwayo. One of the things he always emphasizes on is that he is not a humble person.
Yeah.
He would say that to you blatantly. Sure. And he even said, if you can show me one day where humility has paid a bill, like if you can show me on a statement, you say there, you see that was humility there. Yeah. Look there. Yeah. You see that money? That was humility. He says, then I'll be humble. Yeah. What's your take on that?
You know what I've learned from home and from my mom and my grandmother? They always used to say this to me. Respect will take you far where even the greatest education can't get you.
Mm.
So with that quote for me, I believe that you need to focus, but being humble is understanding the importance of humanity. Mm. When I speak to you, whether I'm a CEO or I'm a young millionaire or whatever it may be, when I speak to you, I need to speak to you in a way that I would want you to speak to me.
Mm.
Mm.
That's it. I think that's my answer.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think it's important, man. I think, look, I understand where Vusi comes from, and you know how his personality is. He's very, you know, he's very hectic like that. But and I get where, I get maybe he's overlapping humility and focus. Like, you can have drive and you can have confidence and determination and you know, you can have that pride in what you do. But I think in the way you approach everyday people, the humility and the respect is vital, because at some point you're going to need to do business with another man.
Exactly.
Who's made millions.
Yeah.
And who's also a smart and successful businessman. Yeah. And, you know, if you got two arrogant guys having a chat, you know, I don't see much collaboration happening.
Yeah. And also, it depends on what you define being arrogant as.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And what situation is being arrogant.
Yeah.
Some people are arrogant in the fact that they're good at what they do. But when it comes to other people, they humble.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True.
So you can be arrogant and say that you are a businessman. You make so much money, you know. You own this and this and that. But the minute you speak to people, you're able to lower yourself and put yourself on the same level as they are.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Black Coffee had said that he tried to call Vusi Thembekwayo once, and then it went to voicemail, and then the voicemail said, "Hi, this is Vusi Thembekwayo, the number one public speaker in the world, blah, 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 blah. I cannot take your call." And I was like, "Yo."
you know, you don't even need to talk to him to find out who he is.
Jeez, man. So I mean, that level of, you know, self-appreciation, I guess. It's almost on that Kanye West level, you know, when you're like, hey, this is who I am. Deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there's a bit of a distinction for me. I think you need to appreciate yourself, right? Mm-hmm. But appreciate yourself to yourself, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't have to force Weza's brand on Von.
No.
Yeah.
Von must appreciate it himself. Yes. But I shouldn't say, "Hey, listen, bro, I'm the best that you've ever seen."
Yeah.
And you will never see someone better than me. I need to just say that to myself. I need to believe it. Black Coffee, for instance, would demand that, let's say you want an interview with him, you'd say, "Well, it needs to be a cover. If it's not on the front page, then I'm not coming. The interview's not going to happen."
Mm-hmm.
Or in fact, if he's going to come and perform at your concert or whatever,
headliner,
he needs to be on the poster. His face needs to be on the poster. Yeah. These are just some demands that he makes because he's just trying to make sure his brand gets known, you know? And I kind of don't feel any problem with that. He's just trying to say, "Look, I've worked a long time to get to where I am.
Exactly.
And where I am right now, this is what's going to suit my brand." But it's different from going to make your answering machine things like I am the best in the world.
And when you introduce yourself to someone and be like, hi, my name's Vaughn, the greatest of all time, it's like, come on, bro, you know, let me decide if you are.
Yeah, it's like this one kid, he's asking me to do some sort of workshop with him, or help him out with voiceover work, and he does it, and he says in the thing, hi, my name is, let's say my name is Vaughn, I'm extremely good, and I'm this and I'm that, and I'm thinking, wait, like, extremely good, like, if you're extremely good, why you even need my help? Like, why are you here?
Absolutely.
Like, why are you telling me that you're extremely good? Shouldn't I be the one to say, listen, kid, you're extremely good. You actually need to be there. Let me take you there.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, the first part to progression is identifying where you are first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you've experienced that. I'm sure you've experienced it. It's first accepting where you are so that you can know where you want to, you want to go. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. All right, guys. This has actually been a really cool, you know, it's almost like a nice fireside chat that we've had right here about all sorts of things, really. Joined by, of course, a really remarkable gentleman doing some really cool things. And I really strongly encourage you to do the same. I mean, there is now only a few days left, and then the first 100 days of the year will have passed. Sunday actually marks day number 100. Then from there on, you can actually start to, you know, reevaluate your life. Maybe you can actually start on day 100 to say, okay, what have I done in the last 100 days? What am I doing in the next 100 days? Let me come up with something really cool, something really big.
Mm. Something proper.
Yes, something proper.
Speaking of that, coming up with something really good, you can come to the Siyabonga Ngena Seminar happening this coming Saturday, you know? Mm. As Vaughn said before, he's one of the speakers there. We've got Yvonne Khame, we've got Phamandla Dlamini.
Yeah.
And all these people are young entrepreneurs, and they... young people who are doing amazing things within their spaces. So come through to Inkunzi Investments, Friedman's House, Friedman Drive, Sandton.
Cool.
$250 a ticket. Make sure that you're there. Bring your crew and just come and be inspired, you know?
Cool
stuff, brother.
Well, we've heard it from the horse's mouth. We've also had a really cool chat right here. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you really, really much for joining us. It's always a pleasure. This is Unplugged and In Charge. Always trying to make sure that you become an even better person than you are today. Thank you very much.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.